This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com.
Jeff O'Neill, who I believe until Sebastian Aho surpassed you, had the record for Hurricanes playoff goals. Welcome to the show. How you doing?
That's quite an introduction. Thanks for bringing that up, Adam.
Well,
there's a bunch of different ways you could have gone, but you went that way, but I have an appreciation for it.
Second all-time in Hurricanes playoff goals. Look, it took Sebastian Aho like five-plus years to get to you.
You know what? He's gonna challenge all the records. That guy, he's a wonderful player. Just to watch what he does on the ice on a daily basis is he's an incredible talent. And I think that, you know, they're just looking for that. Some of those young guys, Svech and Natchez, to kind of take that next step in the playoffs. It's been a good start, but that's the ultimate goal. I think we're seeing it here in Toronto, and same's expected there, where it's like, you guys get paid and time for big boy hockey, and that's when they want you to do it.
There's no question about it. It was an inartful way of complimenting you on setting the bar high for Sebastian Aho. But I wanted to start with the Maple Leafs because there seems to be some bickering going on, at least judging from bench video that we've seen. What is going on with the Leafs as far as you could tell?
Well, it's not that hard to figure out. They're not winning and they're in trouble. And it's been 8 years of it, so there's some frustration boiling amongst everyone. I'm sure management watching, fans going to the game, and ultimately the players that sit on the bench. So I have no problem with that kind of. That's what happens in pro sports. It's, you know, some man conversations tend to happen, and it's not a big deal. Ultimately, I think that it probably should have happened a long time ago, but it happened last night, and what happens now is, when that does happen in this market, Adam, it really puts everyone under the microscope where it's like, oh, there's problems. And there's one thing of solving things in pro hockey. It's just get a win. Get a win and quiet things down, and we'll see if they can regroup and do that.
Jeff O'Neill is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. So is it about the stars? Is it about the Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, William Nylander, who got back in the lineup after dealing with migraines for a few games, John Tavares, or is it about goaltending, or is it about Sheldon Keefe?
You know what? It's kind of an umbrella with all of those things in it. And I think it starts with the star players. I mean, Jim Montgomery said the other day, your big-time players got to make big-time plays in the playoffs, and that's ultimately what you need to have success. And that's true, but if you just look, it goes back to everything, like just roster construction, where if you pay a bunch of guys that money, you notice it in the playoffs. They're so talented that they can steamroll through a regular season. But depth-wise, come playoff time, it's like we say every year in the playoffs, oh, the big stars aren't getting it done. It's like, okay, well, where are the second and third line guys that are supposed to chip in with some goals here and there?
Right.
It's got to be that combination. But when you have a top-heavy lineup like that, it just, the depth gets exposed at every position. There's a bunch of teams in the NHL in the playoffs right now where they go out and get a shiny toy like a Pierre-Luc Dubois, Kevin Fiala, guys that can score 25 or 30 goals. And they forget important positions like goaltending. Like the LA Kings, how they thought that goaltending was going to get them anywhere. They had David Rittich in net last night.
Mm-hmm.
He's an NHL player, but he's a career backup goaltender. So I really don't know what they were expecting doing that. So I think a lot of teams, they just get focused on that shiny thing where they got to have it, and ultimately they don't need it. And there's other positions to focus on.
One more quick thing about the Leafs. When they got game two in Boston, there was a sense that, maybe not of accomplishment because you didn't accomplish anything, but you won a game on the road, come back to Toronto, maybe hold serve at home. But it went the other way. Again, we didn't even talk about goaltending. Does Toronto's goaltending, does that pass muster?
Well, it hasn't thus far. And that's the thing. Like, the Boston Bruins have the luxury of not just one great goalie. They got two of them. All these teams are looking for one, and these guys got two. So it's quite a position to be in. And I don't know. And there's only so many goalies to go around. If you look at the elite guys, there's probably, I don't know, seven or eight in the league.
That's it.
But you need a guy to go in there and do the job. And right now, Toronto, it's been average, but you know what? Average gets you in the playoffs. And when you're playing against a team with great goaltending, you got to have somebody step up.
All right, now let's get to, you mentioned 7 or 8 elite goaltenders in the league. I don't know if Freddie Anderson falls into that category. He's been great since he came back from the blood clot. He's been really good, I think, to great in this series. What is your view of Freddie and how far he can take this Carolina Hurricanes team?
You know what? I was thinking about Freddie the other day. We were talking about him before our show started, and it might be one of those things where he's at that age where he's just kind of comfortable and calm, and he's confident in his ability to get things done, where, I don't know, maybe younger, felt the pressure. Takes goaltenders a long time in most cases, but goaltending's a weird thing because I just mentioned Riddick and the guys out in L.A. There's also the hands-down slam-dunk Vezina winner struggling for the Winnipeg Jets right now. So it doesn't matter what your label is or what your pedigree is going into the playoffs. As long as you find a groove and find a way to get things done, that's all that matters. So Freddie Anderson has kind of his kind of title or niche of where he's, you know, slots in the NHL as far as where he's regarded. But as long as he steps up and he's the awesome Freddie Anderson come playoff time, nobody's going to care what he is next year. It's all about right now.
And he's been really good. Honestly, he probably saved Carolina.
That's all you want. It's like, okay, whatever's happened during the regular season, Freddie, your health, performance, it's all wiped out the window. And that's for every player. The slate is wiped clean. And let's see what you got. And he's playing pretty darn well.
Yeah, the Hurricanes were dominant in Game 2. Games 1 and Game 3 could have gone either way. Anderson saves on Noah Dobson in each game. Gave Carolina the 3-0 lead. I mean, that's just the easiest way to put it, is that his saves on Dobson could have had a great series if both of those are goals, which it probably had a 75% chance of those being goals according to XG, and neither were goals because Anderson made spectacular saves. Back to Sebastian Aho, and I'll put the acquisition of Jake Guentzel, the way Seth Jarvis has played. This is probably as deep a forward group as Carolina's had since the 06 Cup run, no?
Yeah. I mean, when you go out and get a guy like Guentzel and you get Kuznetsov, which I thought was a fabulous risk, a reclamation project where you're taking a chance saying and hoping that this guy can get his game back and contribute. And I think everybody else, like around the league, like I walk into a building where everyone, all they do is talk about hockey. And the big thing was, substance or whatever program he was in. It's like, I don't know if I would touch that. It's like, sometimes a guy deserves a second chance. And Carolina was smart enough to say, it's worth the risk for us, and we hope we can get it together, and he has. But to go and get Guentzel, it sends a great message to the team where it's like, a lot of times, Adam, when I was down there, I found it frustrating, almost like we were in a different league because Detroit was loading up, Colorado was loading up, the New York Rangers would trade for this guy. And it was like we would just get like a depth defenseman and just minor stuff. It's like we almost weren't in the game. And it shows everyone that you are in the game and they're serious about winning. So I think it's a great message.
Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter, Capital Financial Advisory Group. You have a 401k, but you're changing jobs. You're taking that 401k with you. Next step.
Well, a lot of people leave it behind, which is not a good thing. I mean, if you're not at the company anymore, your 401k shouldn't either. That's when it's time for my 401k survival
box set.
You see it right here. I've got workbooks, guidebooks, DVDs in here that explain everything about your 401k. More importantly, how to build a lifetime income. It's a $300 value. I'm also going to give you a total retirement plan, which is a $1,000 value for the next 18 of you who call right now. No cost or obligation.
Call 888-843-0013 or text Adam to 600-700.
Adam Gold is a paid spokesman. Investment advisory services offered by Capital Financial Advisory Group, a North Carolina registered investment advisor.
I'm just looking at Jeff O'Neill's timeline on Twitter at odog92. The picture of you and Brett Hedekin. Hedekin with the shiner. Your shiner had gone away by that point. but at least it was smaller. That's what it takes, right? Just sacrificing everything to get to this point.
That's what it takes is exactly right. I think that, you know, you look at people's faces that win the cup, they're usually not clean shaven and no bumps and bruises. So there's definitely a price to pay to lift that trophy up. And some of the guys around there know that because, you know, Roddy won it and a bunch of guys that are around there have been a part of it. So that's just kind of the playoff look, where if you want to sacrifice and you got to step outside your comfort zone to get it done. It's not all about these kids growing up. It's all they see McDavid and the skill guys and Svechnikov and all the cool stuff they do. You got to do that stuff at certain times when you find the, you know, to find the time to strike and do something creative, but you also got to do that other stuff and step outside the zone to help get things done, getting pucks in, getting them out, blocking shots, doing stuff you typically might not do during the regular season.
This is just such a great photograph, man. Finally, just from your perspective, when you guys go on the set at SportsCenter, your view of the Hurricanes and what they can accomplish. And how they might look against the Rangers in the next round.
I honestly think that the sky's the limit. They could get it done. They're obviously going to need Freddie to step up, and they're going to need the Teravainens and the Necheses, who have some cuts. In the past, just from where I sit watching, it looks like they've been pushed to the outside a little bit. So if they can figure out that they got to get their nose dirty and get to the inside and come up big, then they got as good a chance as anybody.
Jeff O'Neill at odog92 on Twitter. Thanks, man. I appreciate your time. We'll talk again.
Okay, buddy. Thanks for having me. Cheers.
All right. I have to make a correction here.
Okay.
Whatever I saw on which led me that he was the all-time leading goal scorer in Hurricanes history in the playoffs until Aho, could not have been more incorrect.
Oh,
I don't know what I saw, but I really thought I saw that. So I will take the zero here, right. My fault. Because I know there are people going, really? Nah, really? So, yes, no, not close. Aho is and has been, even before this playoff started, the all-time Hurricanes goal scorer, Hurricanes, not Hurricanes Whalers, Hurricanes, in the playoffs. He has 25 postseason goals, and that is 6 better than Eric Staal. Staal is second with 19. Teuvo Teravainen and Rod Brind'Amour both are next with 18. Andrei Svechnikov, who doesn't have a goal yet in this postseason, yet has been great, has 13. Ray Whitney and Justin Williams, 12. Also, Jordan Staal has 12. Seth Jarvis is next with 10. Jeff O'Neill is tied with Corey Stillman with 9. So I just wanted that corrected because that was grossly inaccurate.
Well, and people will
on
at
my
you.
Part. Well, that's fine. I don't mind them
that's
adding
that's okay,
me.
But yeah.
I will gladly take the zero. And if you wish to hit me up at AGoldFan on Twitter after hearing me take the zero and want to pile on, feel free. It's deserved. That was way wrong. The more I thought about it, the more like, wait a second. How many goals did he was in 3 postseasons with Carolina. 1998, where they bowed out in 6 games to the Bruins. 2001, in which they lost in the first round in 6 games to the Devils. That's the series where Ron Francis got, concussed by Scott Stevens. And then in 2002, where the Hurricanes made it to the Stanley Cup Finals, and he scored, I believe, 8 of his 9 goals in that postseason and took a puck off the face in Game 3 in Toronto, but came back to score the overtime goal. Took a puck, like, right in the eye.
There were a lot of that yesterday. I don't know if you were watching any of the other hockey games, but
Vlad Namestnikov took a slap shot to the ear,
yeah,
basically, and or actually, I think it was a fractured cheekbone. They have not ruled him out for Game 5.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
That was intense.
Yeah.
Yeah, yesterday was...
He did not move.
Ooh, people were dropping like flies.
He went to the ice and did not move. So, yes, there was a lot of that yesterday. But anyway, I just wanted to get that squared away with my stupid Jeff O'Neill stat. Anyway, Jeff, okay. Jeff's fun. But they're like in the eye of that, I'll say storm. I don't have to say hurricane. Because if you saw the Leafs on the bench, like not even after the game, like during the game, they could not stop bickering. Yep, 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 yep. They're bickering. They do not know what's going on.
Very unsettled.
Here's the thing. I don't think Boston or Toronto is Stanley Cup championship good. I don't. I don't think they're representing. The East will be represented by either Florida or the winner of Carolina and New York, the Rangers. Those are the three best teams in the East. Boston is not to be trifled with because Boston, if they get a lead, will shut it down. You will not score on them if they get a lead. They remind me, in a way, of a poor man's Tampa from a couple of years ago. They just knew how to play with a lead. So if they got ahead of you, you are going to have to fight through it. And it's not easy because they do have outstanding goaltending and great team defense.
Yes.
So,
and they will get in your brain.
But yeah, exactly. But I don't think Boston is all that great as an offensive force. Marchand, Pasternak, elite, and they have a bunch of good players, but that's really where the goals are going to come from. But Toronto, who has all this elite offensive talent, they don't know what to do with it.
Nope.
Austin Matthews has just been okay. Mitch Marner, I was watching the game. They were clowning Mitch Marner, like in not on the broadcast, but in the intermissions. They were clowning Mitch Marner. Like, what is he doing? He ultimately scored the goal to make it 3-1, but that didn't change the way Mitch Marner's game was viewed. It's probably unfair to just lump it on Mitch or Matthews or Tavares or Nylander, who did play in game four. But they have the Maple Leafs have always had problems in two areas in this run. They have always been mediocre at best on defense, and they have always been mediocre at best in goal, but it's really because of the defense that their goaltending has been mediocre. I think we're seeing that Freddie Anderson wasn't the problem in Toronto because he has been really good in both playoff seasons with the Hurricanes.